Since Jesus had made what we call that triumphal entry on Palm Sunday, and what a grand welcome that had been for Jesus as he entered Jerusalem, and alongside the roadways, people were lined up, waving palm branches, praising God, praising Jesus, saying, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna." And as they shouted out those praises, waved those palm branches, it was a grand day of celebration. But that grand welcome didn't last long. During the week, that week we call Passion Week, Jesus was strongly opposed by those who rejected him, opposed by those who were religious leaders, religious elite of that day, and they were intent on bringing him to an end and bringing him to complete defeat, on putting him to death on a cross. Last Sunday, we gave our attention to the suffering that was his on that cross, that day of his crucifixion on that Friday. And it seemed that Jesus had been completely defeated. And those, even those who followed him, felt that defeat as well. He had gone through a trial. We could say it was a trial of some sorts. He was falsely sentenced to death, a death on a cross. He was completely undeserved for that punishment, for he was without sin. He had no sin. He had no guilt. And yet he was put to death, a cruel death, a death reserved for the worst of criminals. And his followers felt defeat as well. They felt defeat because their Lord, the one whom they had put so much hope in, the one whom they hoped to see bring the nation of Israel back to a place of prominence, he's gone. He'd been killed. He'd been put to death. And they wondered, were they going to suffer the same fate that he suffered? If they did that to Jesus, what will they do to us who followed him? They had hope, but it seems their hopes died with Jesus, and they felt defeated. Last Sunday, we gave attention to the horrors of that Friday, and I reminded you of what a preacher had said some years ago as he went through all the horrors of that Friday. And he concluded his message by saying, "It's Friday." And all the horrors of that Friday he brought up. "It's Friday." And then he smiled greatly. He said, "It's Friday, but Sunday's coming." And this is that Sunday of the resurrection, that Sunday when we find the risen Lord, that Sunday when we gather together to worship and praise our risen Lord. For he was not defeated on the cross. He had victory over death, victory over sin, and he made that victory possible for us, for each of us to know. We've been studying from Matthew this Passion Week, and today we return to Matthew chapter 28, beginning in verse 1. "Now after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave. And behold, a certain earthquake had occurred, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. And his appearance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. The guards shook for fear because of him and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, just as he said. Come, see the place where he was lying. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. And they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to report it to his disciples. And behold, Jesus met with them and greeted them. And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and take word to my brethren to leave for Galilee, and there they will see me." Now, we're told in the 16th chapter of Mark that the women came to the tomb bringing spices, special spices to anoint the body of Jesus. For his entombment had been rushed a little bit because it was dawning, coming to the Sabbath, sunset, the Sabbath would begin. He had been taken down from the cross. He'd been wrapped in burial cloths. And he had been placed in that borrowed tomb. But there had not been enough time to do the full preparation as was normally done, including the spices that would be placed in that burial cloth. And it was the Sabbath. And when the Sabbath came there at sunset on what we call Friday, the Sabbath began, and they were to do no work until sunrise on the first day of the week. And I'm confident they did no work. But you know, I don't believe they really relaxed. Do you think they could relax on that Sabbath? Their minds were burdened with heavy grief with experiencing the death of Jesus. Have you ever had someone tell you when you're going through a most terrible time, hardship maybe, and they say, "Well, just take it easy and relax." You go, "Relax? How can I relax?" And I think that's where the women were, the other followers as well. They did no work, but I don't think they were relaxed. And I doubt that they slept much that night. And the women were particularly not sleeping. They were awaiting the sunrise, to see the crack of sunrise when Sabbath was over and they could go and do what they wanted to do to the body of Christ, to that prepare him more for the burial that was already taken place in that tomb. They could anoint the body of Jesus. Mark also tells us that on the way to the tomb, they were talking about a real concern. Now, had they not thought of this before? I don't know, but it seems like maybe not. Maybe their minds were so occupied with other things. But they wondered and they spoke to each other, how will they get to the body of Jesus? For you know, there had been a large stone rolled at the entrance of that tomb. And that stone may have taken 6 or 8 men to roll it in place. How would they open the tomb? How would they roll away that stone? I know when women set their mind on something, sometimes it's hard to stop them. Amen? No, huh? Well, the woman I know, it's hard to stop when she gets her mind fixed on something. I don't think, though, that she could have even rolled away that stone on her own or even with the help of another. But that didn't stop them. They were committed to doing what they were going to do, and I guess they figured it will work out somehow. They didn't know at that point that God had already taken care of that perceived problem. The stone had already been rolled away. Have you ever had that in your life? Sometimes we get very concerned, maybe even worried about something that really we don't need to worry about. God's already stepped in. God's already taken care of that. Well, when they arrived at the tomb, they found the stone had been moved. And there they were greeted by an angel who calmed their fears after, of course, he caused some of their fears, but he calmed their fears and gave them good and unexpected news that Jesus was no longer in the tomb. And the angel explained he had risen. He's alive. His body wasn't stolen. He had risen from the dead. And then as they were on their way, as they'd been told to report to the disciples what had taken place, what they had learned from that angel, they met Jesus. They were able to see him. They were able to touch him. They were able to worship him. What a change had taken place since they began that walk to that tomb. They had come to the tomb that morning, no doubt still in heavy grief, with plans to anoint the dead body of Jesus. But instead they learned that the spices wouldn't be needed, for Jesus wasn't there. Jesus wasn't dead. He had risen from the dead. He was alive. And that made all the difference. And they could now have a continued and we might say a present tense relationship with Jesus. No doubt when they went to that tomb, their thoughts were on him. They remembered him. They probably thought about the many things that he had done, how much they loved him. You know, when we lose someone we love, our love doesn't die, does it? We continue to love that person though they're gone, but it's a different way. And sometimes in our grief we'll say, oh, if I only could have had one more day or one more week or even one more hour to be with them. To be with them in the present tense. But they see now Jesus isn't someone whom they can remember that way and love that way, but he was alive. And the good news is he's still alive today. We remember Jesus in our memorial, but we need to also remember he didn't stay on that cross. He didn't stay in that tomb. That he rose victorious and he remains alive. And so we sing, we serve a risen Savior. We serve a living Lord, and he is alive. Matthew tells us that the chief priest, along with the elders, those who had opposed Jesus, they came up with a false story, a lie, to explain that empty tomb. And so they paid the soldiers who were there to guard that tomb. They gave them, the scripture says, a large sum of money to lie, to give a false report that his disciples had come during the night. And they had taken the body of Jesus. They had stolen his body from the tomb. But that false report will be proven false in many ways over the next 40 days as Jesus appeared to many. And he appeared very much alive. Now people can lie, and people still do lie. And people make up false stories, sometimes in hopes to cover up the truth. And even today, you'll hear people give some kind of a false story to try to explain away the resurrection of Jesus from that tomb. But listen, those lies don't change the truth. Some think, well, if you tell a lie often enough, if you have people hear a lie often enough, it becomes true, at least to them. But all that does not make it true. The truth remains. It remains today. Jesus is alive. Jesus defeated death. Matthew then goes on and tells us of Jesus' meeting with his disciples, one of the meetings. And at this meeting, he gave them a special purpose. He commissioned them. He commissioned them to make disciples, other disciples. This commission that Jesus gave to those disciples so long ago is a commission that still applies to those who are followers of Christ even today. That great commission is still in this same chapter of Matthew. Matthew 28 begins in verse 16, where we read, "But the 11 disciples," remember, one disciple had perished. Judas had hung himself. "But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some were doubtful. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore,'" here's the commission, "'go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" We are to continue making disciples or followers of Christ. You see, we have the good news. We have good news to share with others in a world that sometimes doesn't have so much good news, but we have good news. God's Word tells us clearly that everyone has sinned. Everyone has sinned. You and I all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The Scripture also tells us that the wages of sin, what we deserve for our sin, is death. That's eternal death, separation from God. But the Scripture also tells us that through God's grace, and praise Him for His grace, we can know and we can tell others the truth about the gospel, that we can know new life in Christ. Because of His resurrection, we can know new life. Because Jesus conquered death, and He has made it possible for us to also know victory over death through Him, to know victory of eternal life with Him. Paul explains this in these words that we find in Romans chapter 6. In Romans 6, beginning in verse 3, Paul writes, "Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into His death? Therefore, we have been buried with Him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with Him in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with Him, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him, for the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Jesus defeated death, and he's commissioned his followers to share that good news of the gospel of Christ, because he lives.